Your girlfriend will hate Bird Dog's khaki shorts. She'll say the llamas on their website look like a preschooler's birthday party invite, not an apparel company. She'll say the sexual innuendos in their newsletters are meant for 7th graders, not grown men like you. She might even tell you that naming one of the products, quote, Fistover Columbus, is borderline offensive. But as soon as you feel their soft inner liner and see how great their stretch material makes you look, you'll never want to take them off. Go to birddogs.com/radio to find out for yourself. They'll even throw in a free tumbler. That's birddogs.com/radio.
Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
American woman, listen what I say.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Sometimes a girl just can't get her headphones out of her bag. I got a large tote bag I use for work, and it's got a lot of pockets. It's a great bag. I love it. I've been using it now for well over a year for work, and it's perfect, except it has a lot of pockets, which I generally love, except it also means my headphones get lost in pockets. Oh, and what frequently happens is I will drop my keys into my bag thinking that they're somewhere on the bottom, the floor of the bag, if you will, when instead they're in a pocket. And so it happens maybe once every couple of weeks that producer Jay is helping me try to figure out where my keys are. And he always says, check the pockets. They're in a pocket. Because it keeps happening. It keeps happening. Hello. How are you? It's our hump show. Manny just waved when I said, hello, how are you? It is the hump show, middle show of the work week. And I hope you have had a positive, productive start to your week. Except if you're on vacation, and then I hope it hasn't been productive at all. I hope it's been the opposite of productive. It was one of those nutty days where I attempted to have a social life or be social in the middle of the work week, and it's not really a good idea, except this was a special situation because my friend Casey, the one with whom I hiked the Grand Canyon, that Casey, my little sister Casey, she is in New York City for a work event, and so we needed to get together because, honestly, we don't see each other that much. Twice a year, tops. I will see her toward the end of the year again, but it's another 5 months or so. So we attempted to navigate, because I live in New Jersey and she was in New York, we attempted to navigate the craziness of the traffic, and I really did. I thought she was on top of it and she had her maps on her phone. I attempted to get her from her hotel in Brooklyn onto the subway, and then the path, which is another version of the subway that essentially comes under the Hudson River in Lower Manhattan, and then to a train station where she could grab a train that would bring her up to my part of New Jersey. Not all the way up. We were going to meet, not quite halfway, but we were going to meet in New Jersey so that we could have dinner. And then I was going to drive her back to wherever she needed to go. Well, it did not work out so well. And I feel terrible. She ended up, I don't know if she got lost or she took a wrong train. Or that's very possible. I thought that she was following along with her app on her phone, and it turns out her app on her phone is not so smart, but in fact is the opposite of a smartphone, and got her all turned around and all confused. And then there are parts of the subway where you're underground and you don't have service. Anyway, this is one of the reasons I love Casey. There are very many reasons why I love Casey. why I consider her to be family, my little sis. She wasn't upset. She got all turned around. She got lost. She ended up on the wrong train and didn't get out where she was supposed to or where I thought she was. And so she missed the train to New Jersey altogether, never even saw the train to New Jersey. Ended up having to take an Uber, which took another 45 minutes because it was rush hour traffic, right? And she was coming north out of New York into New Jersey with the mass of humanity. Except she wasn't upset. Instead, she got to the restaurant and she was happy to see me. And she wasn't, even though I'm sure she was tired, she wasn't complaining or cranky or hangry or anything like that. In fact, she even tried to pay for her part of dinner, to which I said, absolutely not. Don't even think about it. Anyway, then I wanted to drive her back to wherever she could get the train to go under the Hudson and back into Brooklyn. And instead, she just insisted she would take care of it. I love that girl. I have to admit that if it were me, I likely wouldn't have handled it with quite the same calm. So she was a blessing to me this evening. She and I were able to spend a couple of hours together. We laughed. We commiserated, not about traffic or New York, although apparently this has happened to her before. So I think she just expects to get all turned around now. I'm going to have to draw instructions from now on because I'm pretty good at telling people how to navigate the train system. I tell friends all the time how to do it when they come into New York, and I just did not do a good enough job. But she smiled anyway, and we were giddy and girly, and we had Cheesecake Factory for dinner. So I want to hear something funny. I had a vegan Cobb salad, but it wasn't vegan because I added chicken to it. Anyway, I just wanted all the vegetables. Plus, there was avocado, and there were beans, and there was quinoa, which I only learned about quinoa 2 years ago, but it's delicious. There are all kinds of great veggies. Cucumbers, tomatoes. Oh, gosh. There was beets. Oh, fresh beets. There was so much good stuff, that's the word, on this salad, and it was humongous. I ate the whole thing, of course. Bob's still getting used to that. When we go to a restaurant and I eat the whole meal. Well, if you're going to buy it for me and you're going to spend your own money to purchase my dinner, of course I'm going to eat the whole thing. He said for some reason he assumed that, like many women, I would be dainty with my food. Oh, please. First of all, I'm Italian. Second of all, we don't mess around with food. Second of all, you bought it for me and we went fishing and I was hungry. So I ate the whole thing. Anyway, back to Casey. I wanted the salad at Cheesecake Factory, and it was vegan, and it looked delicious, but I had to have some protein, some meat. So I added chicken, and the guy who brought the salad said, oh, yeah, a lot of people do that. He said they want the salad, but they also don't want to eat anything that's vegan, or they want to add something to it. And, of course, we had to finish up with a piece of cheesecake. We split one. She asked for peanut butter, and since of everything that she went through, we had a combination peanut butter, caramel, fudge, ripple cheesecake. Oh, it was so delicious. So delicious. I ate the whole thing. Well, not the cheesecake. We split the cheesecake, but ate the whole salad, then felt entitled to have cheesecake after that. Because, you know, if you have a salad in the summertime, you automatically get dessert. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's the hump show. It's the middle show of the work week. And we're going to try something new on this show. Are you ready? Manny, who just waved at me from the other side of the double pane glass, is going to be the guest producer, the guest questioner, the guest... What's that old... Oh, the guest inquisitor. He's going to be the guest inquisitor. I'm actually pulling that from Star Wars, too. But what, do you guys remember the old history, their old history books where you would read about the Inquisition, the Spanish Inquisition? Manny is going to... Oh, it actually works. The Hispanic Inquisition. Manny is going to be our guest inquisitor. And I haven't told him the rules yet for Ask Amy Anything. Are you ready, Manny? These are some of the guidelines. So this is why the voice God says, in fact, if you feel like searching through into our after hours folder and you find the voice God who says, ask Amy anything, sort of. There are some loose rules that producers know not to violate. Are you ready? I can just tell you what they are. Number one, I do not answer dating questions unless it has to do with bad date stories. Okay, so we don't, people keep asking me, I've seen it because I peaked. I peaked on this edition of the show, this hump show. I've already peaked at the questions. People are attempting to ask me, I know, shame, shame. People are attempting to ask me if I'm making marriage plans with Bob. People want to know if Bob is my forever person. Here's the thing, my friends. I do love you dearly, and I know that you care. But there is no way that I would be sharing information with you on my national radio show that I haven't yet shared with my family or friends. That is the wrong way to do things. It's funny because people do love my personal adventure stories. And I'm pretty sure you all care more about my personal life and my adventures than you do about what I say regarding sports. And that's okay. That means you care about me, which makes me happy. However, you must know by now that I'm fairly protective of family. I'm fairly protective of my friends and our personal lives. And when I do get engaged and get married, whenever that happens to be, I likely won't be talking about it much on the radio until after the fact. So, Manny, back to Ask Amy. We don't do any personal when are you getting married questions. How many kids do you want to have? We're not going to, those are types of questions that are better not posed because you'll get shut down, door slammed in your face. Also, we don't do sports questions very often. Now, if it's a fun, kind of quirky sports question, but if I would be talking about it on my radio show anyway, we don't usually leave it for Ask Amy Anything, or we don't bring it up during Ask Amy Anything. But I'm excited because, see, here's the thing with producer Jay. He follows a pattern. Sorry, Jay. Actually, Jay's sleeping. He had a very busy day. I will not tell you all about it because maybe he'll want to share it when he gets back. Jay has taken the last couple days for personal appointments. And so he had a really big day. Jay's turning over new leaves over and over. He started to work out. He is now sleeping on a different schedule, more like my schedule. And he had a big appointment on Tuesday. I can't tell you what it is, but we'll ask him when he gets back tomorrow night. He had a big appointment. It's yet another step toward him becoming a whole new man. Those are his words, not mine. Those are his words. I don't think he'll get mad at me if I read you this. Oh, here we go. Ha ha, I'm evolving. That's what he says. And at different times over the course of the last couple of weeks, when I've said to him, I don't even know who you are, he will say to me, I'm a whole new man. I'm proud of him. Anyway, we can talk more about Jay when he gets back. But I'm not saying anything to you that I wouldn't say to his face or in a text. But Jay has a formula, Manny. He loves food questions, lots of food questions. So I do get plenty of food questions from Jay. We also do a lot of animal questions. So Jay has kind of a formula. So I'm excited to see what questions you pick. So here's the deal, peeps. For those of you who are new, we'll review. Check out Twitter, either my Twitter, A-Law Radio, or our show Twitter, After Hours CBS. That's where you can send questions for Ask Amy Anything. Bright orange box, impossible to mix. Even if you can't read or you're too tired to read, you can still see the bright orange box. That's where you send the questions to producer Manny's attention, Ask Amy Anything, or on our Facebook page. So Jay did us a solid so that I didn't have to worry about it and Manny didn't have to figure it out. Jay posted the link on both Twitter and Facebook. He is the best. Although we've really enjoyed having Manny. I'm going to have to tell Jay he better watch out. Manny's coming for his job. Would you like to do this full time? Are you in there doing the worm?
No, because I'm not on the floor, but I'm doing something with my arms right here.
You are. You're breakdancing of some sort.
I feel better now, so this
good.
This is how I get.
So Manny made me jealous earlier because he told me how he slept 10 hours. 10.
Like
as
a
in
baby.
1-0. You weren't feeling well, you said. How are you feeling now?
Feel a lot better after that NyQuil knocked me out.
Oh, I do love NyQuil.
Love a good NyQuil.
Yeah, love a good NyQuil on NyQuil. Yes, I actually considered taking some type of drug to sleep on Tuesday, but since I thought I was getting up early to meet Casey for a late lunch, early dinner, I ended up not doing that, but that's what's happening on Wednesday.
Nothing quite like a shot of NyQuil at 7:30 in the morning.
Oh, when I get home, so I will likely do a Tylenol PM, just as opposed to NyQuil, because I'm not sick. I feel guilty. I don't want to be one of those people who uses NyQuil to sleep, because it is habit forming. So instead, I'm going to take a Tylenol PM. I haven't taken one of those in about, 3-4 months, because it knocks. I have to sleep 8 hours. I have to. Otherwise, I wake up feeling groggy. There's a bug in here. And so, yes, Wednesday is my day to sleep, because when I wake up, yard work. My lawn has gone from barely green, starting to get crusty because we went a couple weeks with no rain, to jungle-like. My neighbors are about to start leaving me notes on my door. No, they're not. My neighbors are the best. But all their lawns are, of course, perfectly manicured. Except the one dude 2 houses down from me, he doesn't care. Like, he's the manager of a P.F. Chang's, and he works like 80 hours a week this time of the year and doesn't care. His lawn looks worse than mine, and so we connect over the fact that our lawns, because I leave mine to grow. If I cut it too short and then we go without rain, it'll dry up and burn out and look awful. Plus, I'm not a lawn expert. I'm not a lawn expert.
No beheaded birds, though.
No more beheaded birds. We got the head, not the body. The birds are gone. In fact, I put the birds in the bird head in the trash. It's gone. They picked up the trash on Tuesday. I have not seen any more decapitated animals or their heads. I'm serious. I'm in the flight path for the hawks. I know it. I'm in the flight path. So none of that. But the weeds, with all the rain we've had lately, the weeds have turned into tree-like figures, and they're starting to dominate. So I'm going to go ahead and mow the lawn. I generally get grass in my hair. I'm going to mow the... I'll shower, don't worry. Mow the lawn on Wednesday. So sleep first, then mow. Not Venmo, but Venmo. This is how you know you're cool. If you have Venmo, apparently. I'm a Zelle girl. I use Zelle. I don't use PayPal. I don't use there's some kind of, is it Cash App or
Cash
something?
App, yeah.
Is that an Apple product?
I don't know if it's an Apple product, but it's available on your iPhone.
I do not have an iPhone, which is why I was saying it. But I do have Zelle, and I've convinced Bob, my brother, my mother, trying to think who else. I have some friends that now we Zelle each other money back and forth when we do dinners, that kind of thing. But people are forever asking me, do you have Venmo? Nope, no Venmo, not cool. Do you have Venmo, Manny?
I don't discriminate when it comes to sharing money. I have Venmo, PayPal, Zelle.
Zelle.
I have Cash App. I got
nice.
All the things.
Well, if ever I owe you money, or you owe me money, as it were, if you ever lose a bet to me, well,
yeah,
Zelle will work just fine. No, you will be Zelling me.
I think you will be Zelling me.
Well, this sounds like a challenge. All right, so send your questions for Ask Amy Anything to our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, and then our Facebook page too. Generally, the less sleep I get, the more tired I am, the goofier I am. Oh, and my college roommate who climbed the Statue of Liberty with me all the way to the crown, she wants to hear the part of the show where I described it. So I have to send it to her. This is my college roommate who insists on telling people that I'm her famous friend. We're out in public. She's randomly talking to people and trying to explain to them that I'm her famous friend. So behind her head, I do that. You know when, and I know this is probably not politically correct anymore, when you do the circle next to your ear. Well, it's not really next to your ear. It's next to your temple to describe someone who's a little bit off their rocker.
Oh, dear.
Yes, I don't think that's politically correct anymore. But that's what I do behind her head, is I shake my head and kind of do this about Colleen so people think she doesn't know what she's talking about. Well, I mean, why does she need to tell people that? Then there's an expectation. Plus, sometimes I mean, it was 105 degrees. I was sweating. I looked gross. I probably smelled. And she's trying to tell people I'm her famous friend.
She might be looking for, as the kids call it, clout.
Clout, as the kids call it. Would you include yourself in that category? Are you the kids?
Oh, yeah. I still use the word clout.
So you're cool then?
Oh, I'm so cool. I'm the coolest kid in this newsroom, radio station.
You're definitely the coolest kid on this show because I'm neither a cool nor a kid. I'm a cool cat maybe, but not a cool kid. All right, are you ready for this though? You're ready for the hump show? It's the first one ever.
Let's do it.
Okay, you know there are special opens for the hump show.
I already got them in my work
folder. Sweet. All right, coming up next, I don't know what happened on the baseball diamond in the last few hours, but have you seen the scores? What did the pitchers just take the night off? I think that might have been the case. We will update you on the latest. The deets also guess what happened on Tuesday. The first NFL training camps got underway. And even though the Chiefs' rookies were the ones required to report, do you know who showed up? Patrick Mahomes. Because that's what a leader does. That is what a leader does. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
So, what are you thinking for lunch?
I can't. I'm getting new window treatments. So I gotta go home and wait around all afternoon for a design consultation just to get a quote. It's gonna totally mess up my workday.
Why don't you just go to Blinds.com?
Because I need custom products.
Blinds.com products are made to order and totally customizable. And you get upfront pricing right on their website to easily get your quote online.
But I wanna see the products in person.
Blinds.com ships samples to you fast and free. They can even verify your measurements and handle the installation.
Wow, how convenient. Tell me more.
Blinds.com also has a huge selection of stylish shutters, shades, curtains, and options for motorization, even for your patio. Plus, their 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Well, you've convinced me. Let's go eat. I've got time now.
Shop Blinds.com and save 45% on selected products. Get 45% off selected products right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Being a baseball play-by-play broadcaster demands a blend of learned mechanics, intense preparation, and a calm sense of entertainment. How hard is it to do this job? Let's talk to the ones who do it. This is Matt Spiegel. My new podcast, The PBP, Voices of Baseball, will bring those conversations to you as the best working and former broadcasters tell you why and how they do it. New episodes come every Thursday all summer long. Follow The PBP, Voices of Baseball, on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Righty Simeon digs in. First pitch from Bradley. Marcus swings. That one is cranked to left field. A Rosarena back of the track. Turns. Looks out of here. How about that for one pitch? Marcus Simeon gets the Rangers on the board. A solo home run. And Texas takes a 1-0 lead on Marcus's 13th blast of the year. Here's Jankowski, 1-for-2, first pitch. Swinging the ball, roped over the leap of Diaz down the right field line of base hit. Low rounds third, he comes home to score. Garcia stops at third, Jankowski slides up to second. An RBI double for Janko, and the Rangers increase their lead. It's 2-0. Here's Corey, big lead off a second for Tavares. In the first pitch, Corey swings. That one is hit high and deep to center field. Lowe going back at the track. He leaps. That ball's out of here. A three-run home run for Corey Seager. And he's given the Rangers a 5-1 lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Yes, it is. Middle show of the work week, our hump show, and the Rangers right now are putting some distance between themselves and the Astros in the American League West. And they're doing it against the team that set the pace for most of the first half in the American League. That's the Tampa Bay Rays. But at their expense, the Rangers have now won 5 consecutive games. You hear the calls there on Rangers radio. What you don't hear is Nathan Eovaldi, who was the all-star that was mic'd up. Right. He didn't start because it was Gerrit Cole who started. But if I remember correctly, Eovaldi pitched the second inning and was mic'd up. It seemingly was an entire battery and infield of Rangers who were out there on the field for the American League. So he starts the second half with this game and allows just two hits over six scoreless innings and now has his 11th win, which is tied for the most in the major leagues. And so right now, the Rangers are living their best lives and playing some of their best baseball. And they're doing it even as the Astros continue to kind of go around the mountain, around the mountain. So in the American League West, that lead is now back up to 4.5 games over the defending World Series champions. Though, don't look now, but the Angels have put together back-to-back wins against the New York Yankees. Yeah, we'll get to the Yankees coming up here momentarily. So the Angels and the Mariners are right at 500. It's weird. Angels are 48 and 48. The Mariners are 47 and 47. But they're both 9 games back. It's the wild cards that come into play here. And the reason that I tell you is because the Shohei Ohtani factor at the trade deadline, either he's available or he's not. And it could change the entire perspective leading up to it. If teams believe they could potentially lure Ohtani, well, lure the Angels into a trade for Ohtani, because it's not Ohtani's choice here, unless he would go to the Angels and say, I don't want to be traded. I intend to re-sign here. That would obviously change the whole equation. But if he and his camp stay out of it, and if it's true that they do intend to hit free agency and seek a home elsewhere, then the Angels still have a very tough choice. If the Angels dangle Ohtani, that's a funny mental image. If they dangle him over a cliff, you wouldn't do that with the best player in baseball, then there will be offers. And there will be teams out there who might hold off on trading whatever assets they are determined to use if they believe they have a shot at Ohtani. If they don't, then they'll be looking elsewhere for either pitchers, hitters, anything that can bolster their roster, bolster their chances at the trade deadline. Does that make sense? If they believe they have a chance at Ohtani, well, first of all, you have to decide what you're willing to trade for a guy who, at this point, would only be yours through August and September, potentially into October. So you have to be careful because he is a free agent at the end of the season, which means he could go anywhere. That's actually, it's funny Marco Belletti is here in studio because I hadn't really considered it from the perspective of the teams who would be trading for him. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the Angels are going to want the sun, the moon, the stars, and the kitchen sink. And they should. They should ask for that if they plan to trade him. The challenge, though, is for teams that would be looking to give up those assets. Are you really going to clear out your farm system with no guarantee that you'll be able to keep this guy beyond September or October? I mean, that's tough to think about what you would give up, what the Angels would ask for, and what you'd be willing to give up for a guy that you have no guarantees beyond September.
Yeah, this is the old-fashioned rental that baseball was kind of built on in the trade deadline, but you have to have two things. One, if you're willing to do that and give up the price or whatever it is, which the price also comes down a bit because it is only a two-month rental, but the two things you need to do. In your mind, you have to say, we have a chance to be able to re-sign him. And if he's here and sees it and sniffs it and is in our uniform, then we have a better shot of keeping him. Mm-hmm. The other part is, we get him, we can win the whole thing. Because those are the two things. Look, if I don't care what you give up, and you can give me any argument you want, any prospect is worth a title. And I'll stand on that. I don't care if he turns into Mike Trout.
Absolutely.
Any prospect is worth a title.
It's future versus now. Yes.
So the two things that you have to be in your mind very cognizant of, is he the missing piece to get us over you'll never know the answer, but you have to feel good about, can he win us a World Series? And then if he does, and we make a run, and we can do something in September, in October, we can make noise, will he then be swayed to stay here because he feels it and he understands what it's like to be in our franchise?
And I think the Dodgers honestly would have the best shot at that. Now, what are they willing to give up? They've had a deep farm system, but they've also seen some of their younger guys go elsewhere. But there's a lot of chatter that he doesn't want to leave LA, that he's happy in the LA area, but that the Dodgers would make more sense. Why? Because they're the ones that are winning. They're routinely atop the National League West, not to mention they've got a recent World Series plus other appearances. So if it's I could see the Dodgers organization just going for for broke there and saying whatever you want, because we're pretty sure we can convince him to stay.
Yeah, and they obviously, they didn't make some moves in this past offseason and save some money, likely in the futuristic thought of going to get Ohtani this offseason. The one thing that's there on that regard, though, you're now paying a premium.
You are.
Because the Angels are not going to hand them to the other side of town in the Dodgers without paying an extra cost. So that idea of that two-month rental. Well, I mean, look, whenever you're dealing with a rival or you're dealing with a team inside your own city or whatever
market,
it is, you're going to pay a premium. You're going to pay a little extra if you think you're going to be able to make a deal, or you just say, you know what? I'm not dealing with seeing Ohtani in a Dodger uniform. You know, he signs there, so be it, nothing I could do. But I'm not putting him in a Dodger uniform.
Right.
So you have to be able to go over the top if you get the Angels to bite in that regard. So the Dodgers, that's a
and
good
spot.
And maybe
they won't do it. That's they might
good
not
spot,
do it.
But you're going to pay not only whatever they're asking of everybody else. I mean, any rivalry of any kind, it's hard to make a deal because it's the idea that I can't fathom my player succeeding in your uniform.
But, and having to watch him draw to Dodger Stadium as opposed to Anaheim, that would sting as
and
well.
And on top of it, if he's holding up a World Series trophy and he's the MVP and they're having a parade and you're the one that put him there.
Right.
That's a rough spot for your fans, because it's your fan base that turns around and goes, we had this guy and you gave them a World Series. That's a rough spot. Mm. Again, now if you have to make that decision, you have to feel real good with the return that's coming back. So you're going to ask for, instead of 3 to 4 prospects, you're now looking at 5 to 6.
Mm.
And now you could say, well, I'm nuts, but that's the premium that you got to pay for a guy going cross town.
I like it. I like the analysis. Ultimately, though, if the Dodgers is a team where he is super interested in, and obviously they would be interested in him, then you got to be careful if you're another team and you're giving up a bunch, because he can choose them at the end of the year anyway. So even if the Angels don't trade him there, but he goes to pick a team, the Rangers. Let's just say he goes to Texas for a couple of months and it works out really well. But then he can pick. He may decide to go back to the Dodgers and there's not a whole lot they can do about it.
Which, again, goes back to the idea that, look, you don't make this move. You don't trade what you have to trade. If you think you're a fringe team, like, can this get over the hump to be able to get in the playoffs and make noise? No, no, no. You have to think Ohtani is the missing piece for a title. Now, I think the Giants have a lot of money, and that might be a place that he might look at next year in the offseason. But are the Giants realistically one piece away from winning a title? My mind...
The Ohtani piece, though.
Well, my mind would say no. So I would feel like the Giants, that'd be a tough spot for them. Because you would make that offer in the offseason, you could make that bid, but I don't know if I'd destroy the farm system, because I don't think he gets over the hump for the Giants this year. That's my opinion. Now, the Rangers may look at it and go, you know what? We got a shot at this thing. That could be.
Well, just out of curiosity, though, thinking back to last year's World Series and, well, the National League specifically, the Phillies and Padres end up as the NLCS. I mean, it was a big surprise in the National League.
Sure, but, I mean, again, we could keep going back to the anything is possible. The Padres also made the big giant move in getting Juan Soto, and that helped them get over the top.
Eventually, yes.
Again, and that could also be a guy that could be on the move now.
Right.
They haven't re-signed Soto yet. He's only got a year and a half left. He could be on the move again as well. There's a lot that goes into it. But when you're going to give up a lot, you have to feel awful good that it's the piece that gets you a title. Unless you're an organization that hasn't sniffed a playoff in a long time, a la Seattle last year, where you're like, you know what? I just got to get into the playoffs. Because our franchise needs it. Our fan base needs it. We need to revitalize and we'll deal with it. That's dangerous, but I can understand it. When you're a team that's gone to the playoffs a couple of times and, you know, you took a couple cracks at it, you just can't get over the hump. You got to feel good that gets you over the hump, not just get you in.
I would say the Rangers might be in that spot, though. Number one, haven't won a World Series. Number two, think about the money they've spent over the past couple of years trying to make this work.
Right.
It now is seemingly coming together. Mm-hmm. And so I could understand them wanting to make one more big move that think would just, even if it breaks the bank, it would just be the one piece that gets them where they're trying to go.
No doubt. And also because of the money that they have spent and all the positions they have now locked up for a long period of time, some of those prospects aren't needed as much, or maybe they're blocked by guys like Simeon or Seager or whatever it is. And all that money that sometimes you lock up a position for 6-7 years, maybe one of your better prospects, and I don't know the Rangers farm system off the top of my head really well, maybe one of your prospects is blocked by Corey Seager, and you can now make him a part of that deal to try to get you over the hump. Now, do I think the Rangers believe they can re-sign Ohtani? They may think so. That's a heck of a lot of money that they've spent the last couple of years. That may be a bit much, but more importantly, if they think Ohtani gets them a World Series, which they have not had in franchise history,
right,
then it could be worth it.
And they haven't won a playoff series since 11. I mean, it's been that long since they've won a playoff series. They've made a couple of appearances, though nothing since 2016, but they haven't won a series since they were in the World Series against the Cardinals in 2011.
And we know how that finished off, and David Freese and all
the
that.
The ALCS, yes. Oh my gosh, that was amazing. That was so amazing.
They had back-to-back cracks at it in 10 and 11 to the Giants and to the Cardinals, and they haven't sniffed it since.
Yeah, it's crazy. Wasn't 11 the year that Justin Verlander won the MVP? He was with the Tigers, and it was like the most incredible season. I know he was the Cy Young for sure.
Definitely Cy Young. I want to say that was his MVP season, and they were the ones that
they lost in the Rangers ALCS to the Rangers.
The Rangers beat them in the ALCS in 11, yes.
So it's been a long time. I could see the Rangers, again, because of how their pattern over the last couple of years of going for broke, and I know they don't have Jacob DeGrom right now, but going for broke, bringing in Simeon and Seager and DeGrom and spending money with the brand-new ballpark, like all these reasons. They watched another team win the World Series in their ballpark going back to the 2020 season.
Right.
So I could imagine that this, if they thought this would work, that they would absolutely.
And you got a veteran manager in Bruce Bochy, and you say, you know what? Work on Ohtani.
Yeah.
Show him.
Yeah.
Show him that this is this place
Bochy's
to be.
Bochy's the best.
Again, these are all things that you have to put all into the equation, and you have to dial it all up. Obviously, you need the Angels to be willing participants. They have to actually get rid of Ohtani. That's the first domino that has to fall here. But you have to know, going in, eyes open, is he the piece that can get us a World Series? And do we have a realistic chance of convincing him to stay?
Right.
Sometimes, like you're the A's when they made the move for when the A's made the move for John Lester years ago, when they wanted to get over the top, they want to win their world. They knew damn well that John Lester was not going to sign
in Oakland
because they couldn't sign him. They knew the Red Sox were going to give him up. They knew he was going to go somewhere else. Billy Beane, that was the one time he said, "All in. I'm going to see if this is the piece. Can we get a World Series to Oakland?" Didn't work out, and then you let the chips fall where they may. Now it hurt the organization in the long run, but if they win that World Series, it's worth it. That's what you have to decide. That's the gamble that you take.
12 different teams scored at least 10 runs on Tuesday. So we'll get to that coming up. It was, one of those where the bats were wild on Tuesday. I was jogging, thinking about John Lester to Oakland. Was that the Madison Bumgarner run where he had that incredible?
In 14? Bumgarner had a bunch of runs. 14 was the last one with the Giants. Was that 14 to Cespedes? Yes. Yeah, with Cespedes, yes. That was the A's getting rid of Cespedes to get Lester, which actually kind of hurt them more than it helped them. I think
Encyclopedia Marco. It's Encyclopedia Marco.
And then again, the next year, then he went to the Mets in 15, and that helped them get to the World Series.
Yeah, on a horseback or something like that. Okay, so we'll do a little more baseball. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. You know, if they don't get posed here on the radio, I always go back through the course of the day on Wednesday and answer as many questions as I can. So that will happen as well. 855-212-4227.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Walker swings. There's a drive. Deep center field. That baby is gone! Go-ahead shot for Walker. His second home run of the game. And the Diamondbacks leapfrog in front. It's 12-11.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Call Amy at 855-212-4CBS.
It's 12-11. In the sixth inning, you heard correctly from the Diamondbacks Radio Network, Christian Walker with a pair of home runs for Arizona, 5 RBI, but that was in the sixth inning. It was 12-11. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I appreciate Marco Belletti with some chatter about the trade deadline. Still a few days to go. In fact, I will not be here on the trade deadline. I will be in hotter than Hades, Houston, over the trade deadline. This is what you do when you love peeps. So my mom had foot surgery, going to visit mom, and of course going to visit Bob as well. And meeting Bob's family. I know I wouldn't say I'm nervous. I have many feelings about meeting his family, but his mom and I have already connected. We text. Sometimes I forget to tell Bob that we've been texting and I have to pass along the info and the intel that I get from mom. But yeah, it's been really cool to get to know her a little bit. I send her pictures of our adventures. So for instance, when I climbed to the crown of the Statue of Liberty, I sent her the photos. And so I have connected with his mom. I have to actually follow through because I bragged to Bob and like early in our relationship that moms love me. So if mom didn't love me, then I would be in trouble. I also made a fool out of myself when I said dogs love me. And for some reason, his dog did not love me. She's a fraidy cat. So it takes her a while to get to know people. But yeah, he laughs about that all the time. The fact that I said dogs love me and his dog wanted nothing to do with me. She was hiding behind him. But then I said moms love me. And so I came through and I look like a genius there. But I don't know. What's more important, mom loving me or dog loving me? It's a good question.
The dog.
Okay. Mom needs to love me too. He is definitely his mom's favorite. So mom needs to love me too. There are three sons. He's the youngest of three brothers. And so he's definitely a mama's boy, but he's proud of that. He takes care of his mom. And I think it's great that he takes care of his mom. He's going to help me take care of my mom too. Let's hope. And actually, because he lives closer to her, he does reach out a lot and ask if she's doing okay and if she needs anything. He's a good guy. But yeah, I was wrong about the dog. I got to work on that. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. Again, you can do that on my Twitter, A-Law Radio, and I could see a bunch of your questions pouring in. Also our show Twitter and then our Facebook page too. Coming up next hour, a little bit of Patrick Mahomes in your life because it's always a better show when we can work in some Patrick Mahomes, Kermit the Frog here. I love Pat. I absolutely love Pat. And Andy Reid loves Pat. They're one of the great married couples in sports. In addition to that, J.C. Treader, who is the outgoing head of the NFLPA, the outgoing president of the NFL Players Association, he weighs in on this running back conundrum. Well, this running back stalemate, if you will. But back to baseball. Christian Walker, 5 RBI, 12-11 in the sixth inning. Oh, yeah, the game wasn't done. In fact, they were tied at 13 going into the ninth inning.
Here's the 1-0 pitch now from the right-hander Yates. And there's a swing. Soft liner down for a base hit. RBI knocked by Canzone, and we are tied at 13. 2-0 swing. There's a ball headed towards right center field. That is down, and it's going to the wall. Two runs are going to score as Perdomo gives the Diamondbacks the lead. It's now 15-13.
What?
In the top of the ninth inning.
Stop
you get
it.
A fortuitous E3 from Olsen, and now you've got a two-run lead, and here's Marte. First one to him. Base hit center field. Rounding third and heading home is Perdomo, and with nobody out, the Diamondbacks have scored three runs with four batters and lead it 16-13 in the ninth.
Diamondbacks would end up winning that game over Atlanta 16-13. They had 16 runs on 16 hits. The Braves had 13 runs on 11 hits, and they wasted a 7 RBI performance from Austin Riley, which is a bummer for the Braves. Now, they're still the best team in the NL East, but hit a couple of rockier days. 29 runs in that game alone. But you know what? They weren't the only teams and the only game that were bombs away. Listen to this. The Dodgers scored 10 runs in Baltimore. The Guardians scored 10 runs in Pittsburgh. I mean, the Padres only scored 9 runs in Toronto. The White Sox put 10 on the board in New York and lost to the Mets 11-10. We talked about the Diamondbacks in Atlanta. The second game between the Giants and Reds, 11-10, San Francisco. The Cubs put 17 runs on the board at home against the Nationals. It was 11-10, Royals over Tigers. Seriously, what is happening in baseball? What is in the water? Twins also scored 10 runs in Seattle. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.